fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Almost universally, experts agree that the key to ending homelessness and poverty is a community-wide coordinated approach to delivering services, housing, and programs. But today in Wausau and other north central Wisconsin communities, the agencies that work with residents in need are scattered throughout the community, making access difficult and time-consuming for those who need those services. But in Wausau, a new project is underway that aims to change all that while serving as a potential blueprint for other North Central Wisconsin communities moving forward. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shireen Seward. The Community Partners Campus Project, now underway, will ultimately offer a new home for more than a dozen local nonprofit organizations, all under one roof, providing a one-stop shop for people in need. Located on a Wausau bus line, the campus project seeks to eradicate the all-too-common barriers to obtaining necessary services with a food pantry, warming center, free clinic, rent assistance, counseling, and other services that will all be housed in a single building. It's a bold approach, but one our guests hope will revolutionize the nonprofit community in Wausau and beyond. Joining us today is Brian Gumnes, CEO of the B.A. and Esther Greenheck Foundation. Brian played a critical role in bringing the Community Partners Campus vision to fruition. Brian, thank you for being here today. We appreciate it.
Look forward to our conversation.
Also joining us today is Kevin Noel, who is Vice President of the Community Partners Campus. Kevin, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Shireen. Excited to discuss Community Partners Campus with you.
Our third guest today represents one of the nonprofit organizations serving residents in the Wausau area. From the Neighbor's Place, Executive Director Donna Ambrose is here today. Donna, welcome to Route 51.
Good morning. Thank you.
I'd like to start by asking each of you to explain your role with the project so far. So, Brian, let's start with you. I know this has been an idea of yours for some time now.
Well, not just my idea, but idea of many people in the community. Started about 2 years ago, specifically for this initiative, when Kevin Noel and I went and toured a facility that we were trying to make determinations if it might work for Neighbor's Place for a new home for them. And as we're touring it, realizing that the space was too large just for them, and that perhaps they could have some other nonprofits share the space with them, which then started my thinking that this shared space nonprofit center, which has come up many times in our community dating back to the 80s, might be the time. And as we continue down this path, it has evolved to where we are today.
Kevin, what about you? What is your role with the project, and when did you get involved?
Well, I've been volunteering in Wausau for the last 40 years, and by far this is the most exciting project that I've had the opportunity to work on. And Brian's right, it started with finding a home for the Neighbor's Place and realizing the facility that we were interested in was way too large. And let's see if we can move another nonprofit in. We then came to the realization that nonprofit centers are a very popular movement throughout the United States. And so many of our nonprofits are distracted with having to either own their own building or rent a building that doesn't suit their mission. So it only made sense that we bring in more nonprofits to all live under one roof so that they can collaborate with office equipment, staff, and volunteers. So it'll also become a volunteer center where one nonprofit may not need volunteers at a particular time, but other volunteers will. So we made the decision to move forward and see if we could take 10 nonprofit silos and put them all together in one place. And our intent is to start out with the nonprofit partners that have come forward or we've identified and add more. and become a very, very popular human services center for central Wisconsin.
Donna, you've been with the Neighbors Place Executive Director for about a year now.
Right.
When you were approached by the Community Partners Group, what was your initial reaction? What were you thinking?
I was really excited to hear about this concept because I've worked in other communities where they have tried to do the exact same thing. And having worked in nonprofit for the last decade, I see the value in collaboration, having shared spaces, having opportunities to, you know, work with other people in our sector in, you know, in one building under one roof. That's really exciting. And more importantly, it's really exciting to know that you live in a community where there are people stepping up, advocating for those most in need. So the people we serve is absolutely forefront. And working with all of these wonderful organizations and Brian and Kevin to have a vision of a place where we can easily serve people more efficiently is very exciting. So we I'm really thrilled about the work that they've done and continue to do.
Donna, given the years that you've spent in the nonprofit sector, what are some of the challenges that nonprofits, including the Neighbors Place, sure. Face that you think a central location would solve for you?
Sure. So a lot of the challenges nonprofits face is having, you know, occupying a space that doesn't fit their needs. So oftentimes with a lot of things, but oftentimes in nonprofit, you see organizations having kind of a poverty mindset, meaning that they'll take whatever space is available to them so they can try to make an effort at serving, and the space doesn't normally fit. So there might be an office that you can lease for less, or, hey, we have a warehouse, maybe you should try this out. And, you know, you become very disoriented and you have silos all over the place. So it's really embracing the work that you do and not just advocating, you know, of course, for the people, but advocating for your programs and services, because we all deserve to have spaces that work well so we can do our mission. And that's, you know, with the support of donors and people that support the work we do, that's what they want to see. They want to see us doing our work and doing it well and doing it in an efficient place. And, you know, my years of this work, that's what I sadly sometimes see are people, you know, just occupying a space because they think, well, we're nonprofit. This is, you know, we shouldn't be spending money. We shouldn't be doing this or that. When in fact you should, you know, because the better you are, the better the service to your community. And that lifts up everybody.
Kevin, you mentioned that nonprofit centers are a popular movement right now. Are you modeling this after other similar projects around the country? What did you study before you realized that this could work here?
So there's a think tank of nonprofit centers located in Denver, Colorado, and it's called the Nonprofit Centers Network, of which there are several hundred nonprofit centers which belong to this consortium. And it could be a nonprofit center designated to support the arts or to support literacy or to support human services, which is how we are modeling the Community Partners campus for the greater Wausau area. They all report great success, not only for the nonprofit partners who become members of the campus, but, you know, our main goal is to have success for the families and individuals who seek these services. So many of the clients of the nonprofits are only $400 away from disaster. And we really need to be able to provide a safety net. So Community Partners Campus, we're just a building. We are not the mission. We are a nonprofit formed to simply own the structure, maintain the structure, keep the structure up so that the executive directors of these nonprofits or the people that are functioning as the operations of the nonprofits don't have to worry about finding money for a new roof or repairing a window or buying a new copier. We're going to take all those distractions away from these nonprofits so they can concentrate on better serving their clients and improving their missions. So that's the basic thought behind Community Partners Campus, is that we're not only going to be able to solve a lot of the issues that the nonprofits go through as far as operating their missions on a day-to-day basis, but the main thing is that we're going to be able to solve the issues of transportation for the individuals and families getting to place to get the services that they need to support their lives and their families.
Brian, you've finalized a location. I know it took some doing. Tell us about that and why you chose the location you did. What's special about it?
Well, you're right. We did spend quite a bit of time the last couple of years trying to locate a location, and we've bounced around the community. But one of the limiting factors was that we needed to be downtown or near downtown on a bus line near the families and individuals that require the services of which our partners provide. And it was a real effort to find a size of a building big enough that met all of those requirements of location and bus line, so on and so forth. And we looked at probably three or four different places, and for any number of reasons, they ended up not working for us. But this particular location became the perfect fit. Its location is on Grand Avenue, near downtown, and on a bus line, and families and individuals all live near that area of downtown, and it has the space that we need, at least for creating the offices within it, and the space of which we can put on an addition of a warehouse that will act as a food bank for the neighbor's place to now have a facility designed specifically to their needs.
Donna, that makes me wonder. I mean, when you are working with your clients, how important is that transportation aspect? I mean, how critical is it to have a location on the bus line and everything in one spot?
Yeah, for nonprofits, being on a bus line is really important because transportation is one of the biggest barriers for people that are struggling with poverty. So having access, having a place that they can safely access is really vital. And, you know, and I think too, something that's important to point out from a client perspective, the other benefit of working in shared spaces is when you have a building that is really like just nice, new, inviting, welcoming, it really encourages our guests, we use guests at the neighbor's place, our clients, to advocate for each other. It becomes easier to get those resources. Because oftentimes in communities, there's a lot of great folks advocating for those that need help. But one thing I've noticed in my career is that the better your space is, the easier it is for people that wouldn't otherwise access that help to reach out because it doesn't feel so stigmatized. And then they invite others along for the journey. And I've seen that in my own work. I'll give you an example. There was a woman that I used to work with in Beloit that had lost her husband. She started coming to our organization and she just was overwhelmed with how welcoming and warm it felt. And she started inviting other people that were in the same situation as her. And they formed this group and they started coming monthly and it became easier for them. So I think one of the things that oftentimes gets, it doesn't always appear as much is that, you know, clients can advocate for each other. And I think that a shared space gives people the opportunity to do that.
Kevin, how many nonprofits have committed to being part of this campus at this point?
So right now we have 8 nonprofits, and I'd like to introduce them to you. The Neighbor's Place will have a food bank as well as a food pantry. Blessings in a Backpack, who packs approximately 1,900 meals for elementary school children to eat on the weekends when school is not in session. North Central Community Action Program offers a housing voucher program. So individuals visiting the campus can also have their housing needs taken care of. The First Presbyterian Free Clinic is going to be a huge benefit to our community. The Life Report The United Way Life Report has identified approximately 15,000 individuals in the greater Wausau area that are at some point during the course of the year uninsured. So they'll be able to provide medical attention to families and individuals. The Wausau Police Department Victims Resources Unit, along with their therapy dog, will have a neutral place to meet their clients. North Central Healthcare Crisis Assessment Response Team will be on site. And finally, Catholic Charities, the Warming Center, as well as counseling service and possibly vocational rehabilitation. So all of these things combined will be a spectacular human services center for the community.
Thank you, Kevin. You're listening to Kevin Noel and Brian Gumnis, spearheading the Community Partners Campus in Wausau, joined by Neighbors Place Executive Director Donna Ambrose, our guest today on Route 51, as we discuss this groundbreaking project and its impact on the community and all of North Central Wisconsin. What would you like to know? You can join us by calling 800-780-9742. You can also email questions to route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Brian Gumnis, Kevin Noel, and Donna Ambrose are our guests today for an in-depth look at the Community Partners Campus Project in Wausau. It's an effort to bring services for low-income and homeless residents all under one roof. You can email your questions and comments to route51@wpr.org or join us by phone. The number to call is 800-780-9742. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. Brian, this is an enormous undertaking. It will transform the way services are rendered in Wausau. What are some of the biggest challenges that you've encountered so far?
Well, we've had many hurdles that we've had to overcome. We talked earlier about finding a location. That was probably the largest hurdle. Today, now that we have identified this spot, the real work of everything behind the scenes now has to take place. And the biggest is the fundraising. Beyond that, then we also have the design and development of the space. Couldn't really work on that until we identified that said location. So now that we have it, we can start working on the design and layout of the building. Been working individually with each of the nonprofits to make sure that we can design and build to meet their needs. Creating a board to help manage Community Partners Campus was something else that we've done to help us better serve our partners as well. But like I said, the main thing is right now the fundraising. We have a rather large challenge in front of us and a very aggressive window of opportunity with the need of really having to be open by the end of this year. Our three major partners, although all of our partners, but the three major ones truly need new facilities. The Neighbor's Place has outgrown their place, and we've known that for 2 years now or longer. Catholic Charities' need for expansion in their warming center caused them to move three times in the last year and a half to accommodate the individuals in need of that space for the warming center. And the First Presbyterian Church's free clinic has been kind of waiting in the background in order to open up this space. And that's the urgency of why we're really pushing to get this thing open and operational by the end of this year.
So, and you mentioned fundraising that's underway right now. I know you've asked the city of Wausau to contribute some funding. How much is it going to cost? And where do you anticipate all the funding coming from, Brian?
Well, the overall project right now is estimated to be about $5.4 million. That includes the purchase of the building that we're interested in, and then the build out of the existing building into the space in need to meet the needs that those partners have, and then also the addition of this new warehouse food bank. The funding for all capital campaigns in the greater Wausau area comes from the community. That can be from foundations, that can be from governmental agencies, that can be from corporations and companies, and that can be from the individuals in the greater Wausau area, Marathon County. Every capital campaign that I have witnessed and watched happen through my role as the CEO of the B.A. and Esther Greenheck Foundation, the community steps up and really makes a difference. And if it is a valid and deemed important enough effort, it happens. And in my role within this community, this particular case to me also fits that MO. It is that important. It will have lasting impact on our community, not just the individuals that we serve, but the community as a whole.
It sounds like, you know, getting that community buy-in is really key to making this project work. Kevin, how are you communicating with community leaders to get that message out and to really get that buy-in that you need to make this work?
I want to reiterate what Brian said. And, you know, this is not the effort of Brian and Kevin. This is not the effort of Community Partners Campus, but this is definitely the effort of a community to support all of our nonprofits and the individuals they serve. So we are extremely proud and extremely lucky to have the support of the city of Wausau as well as Marathon County. And all of the governmental officials that we've spoken with are 100% on board with the vision of Community Partners Campus. We find that as well when we are speaking to corporate leaders from our medical community to manufacturing. All individuals and all corporations and executives are extremely supportive of what we're doing. And we feel that we're going to get to the finish line with this very fast-paced fundraising effort. And I just want to thank everybody for helping us support the idea of Community Partners Campus in the community.
Donna, what are you hearing from the people in the nonprofit community in this area? What are the conversations like? Are they excited? Are they concerned? Are they wondering how this is all going to fit together?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an exciting time for many people in the sector. You know, there's anxiety, of course, about all of the various moving parts because this is a huge undertaking. But I think overall, there's a sense of excitement for all of, you know, everybody in our sector to be able to work together, you know, to collaborate, to take advantage of those synergies. And regardless if people are in this building now or not, or down the road, it still has a collaborative space for meeting and sharing. And that's the other beauty of it, because there's just a multitude of things that we can do that's going to help us have more efficiencies across the board, because poverty, you know, it touches every aspect of every nonprofit. And I would say, too, from a community standpoint, as a community member, I think it's really exciting and it's a source of pride that there is going to be a place where people can invest and have an opportunity to help all members of the community. And that's really exciting to me, just, you know, as a community member, because that shows that this community, Marathon County, Wausau, has a vested interest in the success of everyone that lives here.
Brian, you spoke to the need to get this done quickly and the reasons for that. Is the speed at which you're moving creating any obstacles for you? I mean, has that added to the challenge?
Well, this whole process has been a challenge because something to this magnitude is never easy. And, you know, this need to have this facility open by the end of the year is not just, you know, because I think it's a good idea. But the challenges that have come from it all are dealing with really trying to get our message out. And as Kevin said, once we do, we hear nothing but support. And so our biggest challenge is just that. We are and have been very busy in the last month trying to reach out and contact and have these conversations with as many people and organizations as we can. And getting to the goal of which we need to get to is never easy. But I think we're up to the task, and the concept of what we're trying to do is being well received. And I do give us a good chance of making it.
Getting down to the nuts and bolts a little bit, Kevin, when the campus opens, how's it going to work? Will each nonprofit pay rent? And who maintains the space? How's that all going to come together?
Yeah, it's a really neat model, you know, because Community Partners Campus will just be the owner of the building, and we'll also be responsible for the maintenance and custodial services of the building. So we take that off the plate of the nonprofits, that they don't have to maintain their own space anymore. We'll take care of that for you. We're also going to provide an executive director and slash community animator. And this director will travel from nonprofit to nonprofit and find out what the nonprofit's goals are, and possibly find another nonprofit just down the hall that can help them attain those goals. Likewise, for the individuals and the clients, who many do not have just one need. And so when they show up at Community Partners Campus, they'll be able to be directed to a multitude of services that can possibly help them right then. And if not, can at least find the source that can help them. So Community Partners Campus does not need to make money. We're not a profit-based business. So we're only going to charge rent to cover our operational expenses, which are the executive director and obviously the maintenance of the facility and any expenses that we may see come down the road in the future. So we'll be able to maintain a rent that is well below market rate for the nonprofits and help them prosper through that amenity as well.
Donna, I'm curious if you see any opportunity for sharing volunteers among the organizations that choose to partner with the campus. Do you think there might be some, you know, I have a volunteer and I don't have as much work for them today. Maybe they can go help out another organization. Is that something that you think might be possible?
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that happening in a shared space, because there are times when we have, we may have a lot of volunteers and they're looking for opportunities or asking us about other places. And, you know, I see a shared space as a place where people that have the ability to have time to go volunteer can kind of maybe look at a menu, you know, so to speak, and choose and learn. And then too, in a shared space, you know, they can learn about the other nonprofits that they may not be already aware of. So, you know, like people in our work, we're kind of visible, the people that work in housing and food insecurity. But there's a lot of other wonderful nonprofits that, you know, you may not hear about as much. So I think it's great. And I just think it adds to the livelihood of this community and having a place where, hey, you could go here and look for volunteer opportunities. So, yeah, I definitely see that happening kind of in an organic way. But it's exciting, the possibilities.
Well, going on in parallel to this project is a pretty much a complete rehaul of how homelessness is addressed in Marathon County. Brian, have you been working with Wausau's task force on homelessness to kind of assess the needs to help shape this project?
Indirectly, yes. Been kind of involved in the Housing and Homelessness Coalition as it existed leading up to the task force as it's designed today. Out of that actually came the warming center, amongst some other things. But yes, the identified issues of homelessness in our community is quite present and somewhat growing due to the circumstances that we find ourselves in today. But a lot of positive things have been coming out of it, with transitional housing or more permanent housing being identified to help combat the homelessness situation that we are all facing.
Yes. Kevin, you wanted to add something to that.
So I probably a year and a half ago, Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven formed a homelessness task force, of which I was a member. And we had a dozen meetings, and these are individuals representing nonprofits as well as city and county government. And after all those meetings, we boiled down the need for enhanced collaborative services to help support our nonprofits was going to be the best method and the best route toward ending homelessness in our community. And I was proud to say that I was on that committee from the start, and now it's been taken over by Ben Lee at the United Way. And he's doing a spectacular job, and we have the same individuals from that roundtable. However, we've been broken down into three or four different committees. And so I work on the committee that is tasked with enhanced coordination of services. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of things toward ending homelessness and food insecurity in Marathon County. And I'm just proud to be a part of it all.
And I know that task force has identified some main goals. One of those goals was to use case managers to focus on helping individuals maintain employment and financial stability. Is that a role that the community animator that you spoke about earlier, Kevin, is that something that that might work that way, or is that going to be a separate role?
It's a separate role. You know, our task is to maintain this facility for the missions, and the missions within are going to be the way to work with individuals and families in the community. And we can bring in specialists. We can bring in people to help in any way that we see fit. But and I suppose that would be the role of the executive director of Community Partners Campus.
You're listening to Kevin Noel, Brian Gumnes, and Donna Ambrose, our guests today on Route 51, discussing the Community Partners Campus project in Wausau and how it will change the way nonprofit organizations serve residents in need. Your questions are welcome. Join us by calling 800-780-9742. You can also email questions to route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Brian Gumnes, Kevin Noel, and Donna Ambrose are our guests today as we continue our in-depth look at the Community Partners Campus Project in Wausau. It's an effort to make essential services for low-income and homeless residents more accessible. You can join the conversation, too. Email questions to route51@wpr.org or call us at 800-780-9742 and be sure to allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. So, Donna, the Neighbors Place is a food bank, not just a food pantry, right? So can you explain the difference between those two things and explain the logistics of moving all that food? What will have to happen if you become a part of this project?
So, yes. So we are unique in that we are both a food bank and a food pantry. So a food pantry is a nonprofit organization that provides people with groceries and food, and food bank is the warehousing piece of it. So we are a USDA commodities food bank, which is why we are considered a food bank. And we share those resources with other pantries throughout Marathon County. We also are part of the United Way Hunger Coalition, and so we help there when we can as well. But so that's the big difference. So food bank is more of the warehousing, and food pantry is the giving the food directly to those people in need. Right now, it is, you know, our business model has changed significantly because of the pandemic. So we are, you know, distributing food outdoors, and it's going to be a huge undertaking if we move forward, because there's a lot of food that comes here weekly on semis, but you know, we're going to be working through the process and finding, you know, figuring out how best to do that. But yeah, it's going to be a huge undertaking for sure.
Well, and you mentioned the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic really changed everything. Brian, this was in the works long before the pandemic hit, but how much urgency has the pandemic added to this project?
Shireen, it's added quite a bit. One of the main things that we're seeing are the growing numbers of families and individuals of need. Unemployment has caused people to line up in cars to get food either from the neighbor's place or from other distribution points over the past year. I've seen and witnessed long car lines at any number of locations to get that assistance because they can't afford food right now. The warming center also is starting to see, and Salvation Army, some increases in people utilizing their services for home shelter. So yeah, I think the overgrowing need for what Community Partners Campus will help facilitate is becoming more and more important. Our timing is actually probably pretty good in that regard. But at the same time, we could be open today to better serve those in need.
I wanted to point out that this month, WASA performed its annual point-in-time homelessness survey, found 7 people in the count. But we know there are several hundred who are in shelters. Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of how many people this project will ultimately serve, Brian?
Yeah, in adding up all of the individuals and clients that each of our partners serve, we're estimating anywhere between 10 to 15,000 annually.
Okay. Mike from Wausau called. He couldn't stay on the line, but he wanted to know where people can send donations. Kevin, what's the best place to send a donation? Where to go?
So we're a little bit behind the eight ball getting going, but if it's not already up, our website is in development, but you should be able to access it by cpcwasa.org. cpcwasa.org. I also just gave you our email address in the event that you would like to send us a note or send us money, you know, and by supporting Community Partners Campus, you support all of the nonprofits that are within the campus all at once. So it's a great investment in the community. Also, contributions can be sent to P.O. Box 1403, Wausau 54402. But when you go to cpc.org, you'll also find a video of our story. And it's about a 5-minute video. It gives you a very good flavor of what CPC is, who we are, and what we're trying to accomplish. It'll also give you a flavor of the partners that are going to be housed in this on the CPC campus. So that's that information.
All right. I'm Donna, I was reading some information from Spokes. It's an organization that provides resources for nonprofits. Saying that collaborative models work when there's a true overlap in the missions of all involved organizations and similarities in programs and services. When you look at the nonprofits in this community, do you see that harmony? Do you see that overlap in mission that will make this a success?
Yeah, I think so, because I think that they're, you know, when you're in a collaborative space, you can maybe take a look at your overall programming model, and maybe there's something that no longer is a good fit for you, but it might fit better with a different agency down the hall. So I'll give you a good example, about duplication of services or where things should best fit. We're rolling out a new program called the Baby's Place, and it's going to be our new diaper bank. And diaper banks are a natural fit for food banking because it's those things that we call trade-offs. So when people are struggling with food insecurity, they might be, you know, maybe not diapering their baby as often, or, you know, to put food on the table. There's the heat and eat scenario, all these things that people do that are struggling. And right now, the United Way of Marathon County has been providing diapers to several nonprofits through their Bundles of Joy program. And it's been a wonderful program, has had many years of success, but they are supportive of our efforts and see that that would be a better fit for us. So in the future, they're going to be transitioning away from that. And that's just one conversation, you know, of people knowing what we do and how we do it. And we all want to support each other. You know, there should never be competitiveness in a nonprofit environment. It should be lifting each other up and figuring out what is best for your organization so you can really focus on the mission and the scope and not, you know, get out of your lane. And it's easy to do because we all have caring hearts, and we all, you know, it's easy to not have a knee-jerk reaction to a need. But it's, you know, in this kind of environment, you can take a step back and ask, am I the right group for this? Are we the ones that should address this? Or maybe it's somebody next door or down the hall. So I see that type of environment in a shared space like this, that they would, those opportunities would just happen and those conversations would, you know, flow freely.
Kevin, you said something earlier that stuck with me. You said, this is just a building. We're not the mission. We're the building. So nonprofit organizations have to trust one another to work together. So how are you navigating those conversations between agencies that are going to come together with their missions under this one building?
Yeah, we have an amazing team. You know, our construction team has been sitting down with all of the nonprofits individually to get an idea of what their needs are, whether it's square footage or floor plan or services that they provide. And to meld all of that information together to form one campus is a huge task. And I'm daily impressed with this construction committee's efforts to bring everybody together under one roof to live in harmony forever. You know, so it's a big undertaking. We have a grant writing team. We have a board of directors, and we have so many other individuals that volunteer such a big part of every day to making sure that CPC is going to be everything we hope it's going to be. So it's a lot of work, and I think Brian might have something to add to that.
Sure, Brian.
I think your question also asked, you know, as far as how we're going to get the nonprofits to work together and be able to communicate. That's been going on for the last couple of years once we actually started down this path. Individuals like Donna and other executive directors from our other partners have been meeting already as part of a steering committee early on, and all of these concerns and questions that have arisen about how this is going to look and work, we've been already talking about. And I think once the facility is open and our partners move in, they will form a ad hoc group inside the campus to continue those conversations. And I think that's where we will see better results as far as collaboration and outcomes. You know, besides just bumping into each other in the hallway, our hope and vision is that they meet monthly and at a round table, if you will, and just have those conversations and share what it is they're doing and what it is they hope to be doing. And between all of them, they will find those collaborative efforts.
Brian, what about those outcomes? What are some of the measurable outcomes you're looking for? What will tell you that this is a success?
Well, I think as individual nonprofits, they all keep records of the people they serve, the families they serve, and they create those measurables already. But I think what could happen is the biggest outcome is that they will start serving less people. You know, I think a goal of a nonprofit, I heard from one of our local nonprofit executive directors, is that they're trying to work themselves out of a job. You know, the true measure of success of a nonprofit is that they have to serve less people. And those are going to be the measurables, I think, that we'll be looking at and looking for through this collaboration.
Kevin, are you in conversations with other organizations? You have a solid start. You have, you know, 8 organizations that have signed on. What's missing so far? What do you want to see to complete the puzzle?
Boy, I think we have such a well-rounded group. You know, our experience in the Nonprofit Centers Network and hearing about other nonprofit centers throughout the United States, I feel that we have a very comprehensive group of nonprofit missions moving into Community Partners Campus immediately. I think if this Human Services Center will put Wausau on the map as far as being one of the leading human service centers in the United States. I might be biased, but that's my opinion. So as far as identifying other nonprofits, our ears are open. If there are other nonprofits that would like to consider becoming a partner, we would certainly like to hear from them. We consider this to be phase one of Community Partners Campus. We do expect that we will have the need to expand within the next 5 years. And as a matter of fact, we've already made plans to do so. So the more services we have in a single location, the better for all of our nonprofits and the better for all of our individuals and families who seek these services.
What do you think that expansion will look like? What is the plan?
It could be housing. It could be transitional housing. It could be additional shelter. It could be additional services. It could be vocational training. It could be more counseling services. It could be an expanded medical service. Brian, do you have anything to add to that?
I think we've always believed that the greater Wausau area will tell us what the need is. And from there, I think we can look to see where that expansion makes sense. We do have other nonprofits in the community that have expressed interest already of being part of it. But because we are limited in space, we unfortunately can't bring them all in right away.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for joining us today to talk about this project. Very interesting. We'll be following it as it moves along. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Once again, thanks to our guests, Brian Gumnus and Brian Noel, who are working together on the Community Partners Campus project, and Neighbors Place Executive Director Donna Ambrose. Our producer is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer, who is also our on-air producer today. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of this program at WPR.org/Route51. Next week, we'll take an in-depth look at efforts to decriminalize and legalize marijuana in Wisconsin and the potential legal and health consequences that could result. In 2 weeks, we'll hear about Iron Bowl, an organization that's bringing extreme sports to the region. If you have an idea for an upcoming program, email us at route51@wpr.org. Until next week, we're heading out of town.